This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2110.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Or, you know, you can take it the long way. And that's agenda21radio.news. Or, and also, newcaliforniastate.com or ncs51. To talk about, guess what? New California. What a great prospect going on there. Anyway, we got some breaking news. So all you people say, oh, nobody gets arrested. All these things happen and nothing really happens. Trump isn't doing anything. The DOJ is doing nothing. Well, here's a big one. So you can put it in your pipe and smoke it, right? Here you go. Are you ready for this? I put your hands in the 10 and 2 position, as we always say here on Agenda 21 Radio, when big things start to really come out, because they're coming out. And, you know, we've been telling you, guess what? Things are going to start happening. People are going to be arrested. There's going to be perp walks and things of that nature. Perp walk number one. So, at least arrest anyway. Number one, of the big ones. These, you know, remember, we talked about low hanging fruit, mid hanging fruit, and now top of the fruit tree chain here. Jeffrey Epstein's confidant, Ghislaine Maxwell, arrested by New Hampshire FBI. In New Hampshire, FBI says arrested. Did I not? I guess I did a little bit. Jeffrey Epstein's confidant. I guess it's Ghislaine Maxwell, arrested in New Hampshire, FBI says. So there you go. That's the big one. That if you didn't get Jeffrey Epstein, this is the one you wanted. Because she was the pimp. She was the pimp for all the children. Oh. Yeah, you know. Fantasy Island, anyone? Pedophile Island, anyone? She was the facilitator. She facilitated Epstein's alleged sexual abuse also being investigated. The main focus has been on Maxwell. This is what it says. Maxwell, 58, dated Epstein for more than a decade ago and became a member of his tight inner circle until his August 10th jail cell suicide. In a 2003 Vanity Fair article, Epstein referred to Maxwell as his best friend. Epstein, 66, faced sex trafficking charges at the same time of his death and was awaiting trial in that case. If convicted, he could have been put in bars for the several years. In May, Maxwell won a critical request to delay questioning in a civil suit filed against her on the grounds that her sworn testimony could incriminate her. Should there be a criminal case against her in the future, I'm permitting her not to respond to written questions and not to have her deposition. Magistrate Judge Deborah Freeman said during her ruling, not forever, but at least long enough to let her know whether the claims process is likely to go forward. Though Maxwell faces multiple lawsuits against her for her role in Epstein's alleged nefarious activities, the May ruling specifically dealt with a lawsuit filed by Annie Farmer, who was a victim. Anyway, so this is what we have here. President Trump breaks down record-setting jobs report. We got that one already. But this is what we have here. Jeffrey Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested in New Hampshire on Thursday morning, the FBI confirmed to Fox News. Epstein's former girlfriend and accused madam was taken into custody at 8:30 a.m. in Brantford, New Hampshire. The charges against her are currently sealed. Maxwell, the daughter of late British media magnate Robert Maxwell, has been accused in civil court filings of facilitating sex trafficking operations that brought girls, some as young as 14. I have other information I'm not going to put out about that age limit. That age limit may be a little high. Right. To Epstein's Manhattan home. Though until Thursday, she had not been formally charged with any criminal wrongdoing. Now, what that means is you talk, you walk, or you talk and you can, you know, crawl. Well, there may have been reports that there were several others who facilitated Epstein's alleged sexual abuse also being investigated. The main focus has been on Maxwell. Right, Maxwell. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I think it's very interesting. I think you're seeing not the low-hanging fruit, but the upper echelon fruit, if you know what I mean. That is exactly what we're seeing here in this particular situation. So good luck, Jeffrey Epstein, right? Well, he's dead, they say. I like the way they played that out. Jeffrey Epstein's not dead. Remember they had all this little spoof on that? The guy, the people that were deep sea fishing, and they showed this guy catch a fish and he reeled it in. They netted it and they're starting to take out the hook and they realize, oh, there's something in the mouth of the fish. In the gullet. They reach in there and they pull out this plastic bag and there's a note inside. It's like a note in a bottle type business. And they open them and says, Jeffrey Epstein is alive. And then the other one with the drone that goes up and looks at the very top of a telephone pole, and there's a note attached to the top of the telephone pole and says, Jeffrey Epstein is alive. Remember that? Those spoofs? Anyway, so one thing we do know, that Ghislaine Maxwell is alive, and she's arrested. She's under arrest. This is a big fish, guys. One of numerous big fish. Now, they've left this thing sealed. I'm just speculating. They've left this thing sealed for an obvious reason, because there's more fruit on the tree. Get it? I mean, you've got a lot of trees and a lot of fruit on each tree. First, you've got this whole thing going on with the Russiagate thing, part uno, one, part one, right? You've got that whole thing going on with the Mueller and McCabe and all this other good. And, you know, they haven't even touched the thing about McCabe delivering $750,000 to his wife, who is running against Dick Black, the veteran state senator in Virginia. They wanted him out, so it was McCabe, Andrew McCabe, while working with the FBI, who got $750,000 from the Clinton Foundation and gave it to his wife as a donation. He was the intermediary, the FBI guy, the agent. They haven't even touched that yet. See, McCabe's in a little bit more trouble than people realize. I mean, there's that tree. There's that Russia tree, and you got a lot of fruit going on there. And you've got some low-hanging stuff they're investigating, and pretty soon you're going to have some announcements coming out about Russia. And, oh, I just can't really wait until we start looking at the other tree, and that other tree is Ukraine. Shocking. Now, remember, they already got one of the fruit off of the tree, and that was the Stormy Daniels fruit. Who was that? The attorney? Remember that wacko? He's gone. He's toast. That tree's kind of cleaned up. But you still have the impeachment part of things, right? And that whole thing about Joe Biden and Bo Biden and all this other good stuff, boy, that's a tree you're going to be seeing some fruit picked from. And at the top, let's go down to another fruit tree. Let's go to the Nancy Pelosi fruit tree. Yeah, and then there's the Gavin Newsom fruit tree. I mean, it's just, there's fruit all over the place. Then you've got Chicago. Oh, my God, can't you just wait? Yeah, you just can't wait for the Chicago. I mean, there's fruit everywhere. And the fruit is coming off the tree. So this is a big story. Epstein's Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine. Ghislaine. That's Ghislaine Maxwell. So this is big. This is really big to have something like this happening in the world. And again, thanks to Donald Trump and of course, Attorney General. You know, this here's part of the problem these folks face. And there's politicians right now in the Senate and in the House, kind of like in California with their assembly, that have the connections to Epstein. Yeah. And, of course, Hollywood. You know, hey, you know, the Crimes Against Children's Task Force at the LAPD. See, don't you think they really want to get rid of that task force out of Los Angeles? That's why they're saying, oh, cut the budget. That investigative unit has contributed greatly and mightily. And, of course, we haven't heard much, shockingly, from Hollywood about Donald anti-Trump information coming out of Hollywood lately, have we? Now, could that be related to this Ghislaine Maxwell, you think? I want you to ponder that. And I'm holding back information because I have information that I have to hold back right now. But I'm going to tell you, it's all related, guys. And those of you that have not been touched and reached out to by certain law enforcement officers in various parts of the country, especially Hollywood, they've done a pretty good job of cleaning it up, by the way. They're very well aware of what's going on there. That's why there's silencio going on in Hollywood. Now it's going to start creeping up into government officials in California. Yeah. But so you've got California legislature and politicians and politicos, and of course some of them that we can talk about that are in the House and also in the Senate. Let's talk about, we'll talk about Adam Schiff. His good buddy was Ed Buck, the Buckaroo, we call him. And the Buckaroo is in jail. He's catatonic right now. The guy's in just terrible shape, I guess. Remember, he was the guy who was caught with two bodies at two different times in his house. And these bodies were Negro men, black men. And guess what? They were homeless. One of them was a male prostitute for sure. The other one was out prostituting for drugs. And, of course, he was giving them, you know, methamphetamine by needle. Because he got his sexual gratification off of watching these men die. And they did die. So finally, after the second death, the L.A. sheriff said, well, you know, probably should arrest this bad boy because, you know, this doesn't look good. Now, who was Ed Buck? Ed Buck was the main money bundler for Hillary Rodham Clinton, for people like, well, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, shocking. Are you shocked? Adam Schiff, Schiff. We could go on and on and on about California politicians and other national figures that were all associated with Ed Buck. So the West Coast version of Jeffrey Epstein is under arrest. And, you know, he doesn't like Bubba. And, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a real smart guy. Because if you don't like Bubba, then you know what? You can probably get away with a lot. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting away with a lot. Because, well, when I say getting away with a lot, what I mean is that what he's got is he's got this opportunity to sing, to stay. You know, he clears the vocal cords. That's really bad. But, you know, he clears his throat and he goes, hey, you know, I don't like Bubba. I'm going to try and stay away from Bubba. Please keep me away from Bubba. That's what we have here. So on the West Coast, we now have this one all starting to be taken care of. See, it wasn't just the politicians that he was bundling money for. Oh, did I say the Clintons? I'm sorry. They're the main California money bundlers for the Clintons, too. Oh. Yeah, this is how it goes, right? And Bill, he liked Jeffrey. Jeffrey was his buddy. You get the connection going on here? You see, the trafficking in human flesh and slavery, and in particular the trafficking of children, is what we're talking about here. Slavery. It's another form of slavery. You know, when you're buying and selling children, which is exactly what this Ghislaine Maxwell was doing for Epstein, then there probably should be some consequences for you for slavery. Isn't it funny how these people deal openly in front of your faces with slavery and how they do it? And this variety of slavery, of course, that they're involved with, Epstein and Ed Buck, is what? Well, it's child sex trafficking. That's slavery, guys. That is slavery. You're moving children around against their will. You're taking them away from their parents. Sometimes you're buying off their parents so you can have the child at a young age. What do you think was going on with all these, you know, caravans from Mexico? Same thing. And, of course, all these unattached children, right? All these, you know, children from 12 to 6 years old that were just showing up at the border with no parents. Oh, they were being bought and sold. They were being bought by cartels and the coyotes and some of the churches. And so they're being bought and then brought to the border. And then from there, they're being bought as they cross the border and put into some of these places that were taking federal funds to provide shelter and food and clothing and, of course, education. All that money flowed freely to these agencies that are down there. Billions of dollars to help these illegal foreign nationals. Why do you think Trump said build the wall? And, of course, now what's happening down there, shocking. The COVID virus thing is skyrocketing. And why? Because they need it to skyrocket. Listen, it's unusual to have a flu season that comes along as a second kick like this. In fact, it's like never happens. Hardly. But it can happen if you culture the disease in another population and let it run rampant, and which was exactly what they've done in Mexico. So now you have a whole bunch of people that are COVID-19 positive. Either they've had it, and they've got the antibodies, but they test positive for it. So what they're doing is that they're bringing them across the border wholesale, and they're finding their ways into all these different hospitals. This is something that's very well documented now at this point, yet they want to keep the crisis going. That's exactly what's happening with Gavin Newsom. That's exactly what's happening in Texas. You got to keep that crisis going. We don't know where these people are coming from, but man, are they sick. And of course, everybody's into the money game because there's more money now that's going to be expended on the behalf of these folks. That's the problem. That is a big problem, but it is a problem nonetheless, being facilitated by people openly coming across the border sick. And that's the scam. And now, I'm going to be covering this in a little bit, Gavin Newsom, what is he doing? He's bringing out the thought police, and he's going to control every little thing. You put your mask on or else we're going to bring out the California Highway Patrol. You know, the same people who give you tickets on the highway, they're the policing arm for Gavin Newsom. They're the new brown shirts for Gavin Newsom. And I hate to say that about the Highway Patrol, but, you know, you're acting like the brown shirt, you have brown shirts, guess what? You're probably brown shirts if you're taking orders from a dictator, shockingly very similar to what Adolf Hitler was doing with his brown shirts. Don't you just hate it when this happens? And you should hate it because this is exactly what is going on. This is a dictatorship rocking and rolling. Rocking and rolling. Anyway, Jeffrey Epstein in the news, and his confidant is arrested, Ghislaine Maxwell. Low-hanging fruit for all those people who are worried about whether or not we're going to get low-hanging fruit out of this. And you got it. You got it. So this is a little side piece. Prince Andrew is still not cooperating in Jeffrey Epstein investigation, prosecutors say. Well, Prince Andrew. Shocking. More shock than not, right? Break out the shock drop, the shock jocks, that's it. I just wanted to say how absolute. Oh, there we go. This is now, I've just now come on to Fox News. A mystery maiden nabbed. So this is big news. Big news. For those of you that thought arrests were not going to come from the Trump administration for all this stuff, yep, it's happening. Yep, it is happening. Bolton calls this person the second most powerful man in the White House. Oh, that don't you want to hear something from John Bolton? The guy who got it wrong was he was with the president, and he's getting it wrong when he's not with the president. I just thought I'd say that. And again, the TikTok version of this girl that's crying from Harvard. I'm not going to go back down that road, but I just wanted to mention this. Okay, one thing before we get into any other conversation. Florida will not levy lockdowns amid rising COVID cases. I love this DeSantis guy. I love him. And this is Florida Senator Rick Scott, by the way, who's going to make a comment. And remember, it was Rick Scott who was governor before DeSantis.
Going back, closing things, I don't think that really is what's DeSantis driving speaking. It. I mean, people going to business is not what's driving it. We're open. We know who we need to protect. Most of the folks in those younger demographics, although we want them to be mindful of what's going on, are just simply much, much less at risk than the folks who are in those older age groups.
I'm sure business owners are happy to hear about that. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis announcing he will not reimpose sweeping shutdowns in his state, despite Florida's recent rise in the COVID-19 cases.
So let's discuss this. We've got former Florida governor and the state's current Republican senator, Rick Scott. Senator, good morning to you.
Good morning. Okay. Well, I think we ought to stop mandating things and start just giving people good information. That's what I did when I had hurricanes. People are smart. Give them good information. Tell them where there's the spread of the virus. The places that are at risk. If you told me a restaurant has had patients or employees with coronavirus, I'll probably avoid it for a while. So give us information, but you don't have to tell me to wear a mask. You don't have to, tell me to shut things down. Give me more information.
Because ultimately, Senator, what we have learned in the last 3 or 4 months is completely different than what we thought in the very beginning. You know, there was a total lockdown. Now we know that this is manageable. And as the governor, current governor, just said, you protect the vulnerable. Ultimately, what you're trying to...
Yep. I like this DeSantis guy. We'll be back.
protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, when it rains, it pours. This just flashed up on the screen. This is a breaking news. And this was just posted just now. About 10 minutes ago, it says. And the grand jury, listen to this. Supreme Court blocks House from seeing Mueller grand jury documents and plans to take up case next term. It says here the grand jury material from former special counsel Robert Mueller won't be released to the Democratic-led House of Representatives, at least for now, said this after the Supreme Court on Thursday granted the Trump administration's request to take up the case next term. Oh, no, Adam Schiff. You know, I think that what Adam needs to do to make it absolutely crystal clear is put a bag over his head rather than that black mask. That's just me. Two little eye slots on the bag because we don't want to see his ectopic goiter eyes. The court's move is a win for the Justice Department and means that the information, which includes portions of Mueller's report that were redacted to protect grand jury information, underlying grand jury testimony, and exhibits that relate to certain individuals and events, won't likely be released before the November election. Oh, I'm so saddened by that. House Democrats told the justices that any delay would threaten the committee's ability to complete its investigation during the current Congress. In the cases of major separation of powers fight, testing the ability of the Justice Department to control grand jury information from a historic, deeply political investigation it conducted that could also aid congressional investigations. Ah, there you go. So, you know, when it rains, it pours, right, for Donald Trump. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry at all. And you shouldn't be sorry either or feeling sorry for any of this stuff, right? Oh, man. This whole Fox News thing, I don't know if I want to dive into it. Mystery Madam, but it's still trending as the number one story right now. So impressed with this. I got to check this out. I don't know if I've done the right thing here. I haven't.
Country continued to call to defund the police, but critics are warning about the true cost of cutting money from police department budgets. William LaJeunesse is live in Los Angeles on that for us. Hey, William, good morning.
This is live radio.
Well, Sandra, that's why we went to a city that's already been down this road that did defund police, Vallejo, California, not by choice, but bankruptcy in 2008, forcing it to cut police by half, 150 to 77 cops. So what happened? Pay went down. Veteran cops left. Police shootings went up. Narcotics, traffic, walking cops, beat, school cops, detectives reduced or eliminated. A former officer, now mayor, says the departments only had the manpower to respond to crimes in progress.
There was virtually zero policing. Crime ran amok. People, especially traffic, speed limits were, I mean, they believed they were absolutely unenforced. Break into a store or break into a house, and it's going to take the officers 20, 30 minutes to get there.
Morale hit an all-time low. Burned out cops adopting a us-against-them mentality. Violence increased. So New York to L.A., lawmakers wanted to fund cops to make cities safer. Well, from someone who's been there, that's a mistake. Cut budgets, you cut bodies. Response times go up, so does crime. The public loses trust.
They want to be able to say, I can walk down the street without fear of getting mugged. I want to be able to walk out to my car and see that it's still there. I want to go home and not find my front door kicked in. They want to feel safe. And can you do that by disbanding your police department or defunding your police department?
So the takeaway, the mayor says, is you can turn over paper calls, filing reports to civilians. Cops can turn over homeless and domestic calls to therapists once stabilized. But you still need uniforms, Sandra, to help deter crime and detectives to solve them. Back to you.
Shocking.
Okay, William LaJeunesse, thank you. Trace?
Well, lawmakers demanding answers over reports that Russia offered bounties to militants to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And this morning, they may get some answers. That's next.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. But, you know, this whole thing that defund the police, of course, you know where this is going to go. Yeah, it's going to go just like it did in Vallejo. In any other place that defunds police, this is what happens. Crime goes up. Shocking. And then there's the whole thing going on up in Seattle, right? How's that working out for Chaz Chop? Well, they took it down. They tore it down. And, of course, the big story about Chaz Chop, the Chaz Chop thing, right? This is the story. This is the real story. And Sean Hannity had it on last night. If this does not break your heart, This is unbelievable. Father of Chop shooting victim speaks out in an emotional Hannity interview. And this is to me just the most outrageous thing. But this father suffering because his son was gunned down. A 19-year-old special needs boy was shot down.
Now, he's the father of the young man we mentioned earlier, Horace Lorenzo Anderson. He was murdered in Seattle's Chop Zone, Autonomous Zone, or Summer Free Love Zone on June the 20th. Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. is with us, along with a family rep who is the executive director of Not This Time. Andre Taylor is with us. Sir, I speak for everyone I know watching this program tonight. We are so sorry for the loss of your son. And I don't know how one. I'm a father, as a son that's 21 and a daughter that's 18, right around the age of your son. And this happened, and what, 10 days ago, and the city still didn't do anything to protect its citizenry. Your thoughts, sir?
I think they should have just been. Man, this, I mean, it's incredible. You know, my son's 19, you know. I mean, they should have been did something about this a long time ago. And I don't, you know, like I say, I'm not, I understand Black Lives Matter and everything was going on and everything, but that's not my movement right now. My movement is let them know that was my son.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Horace Lorenzo Anderson was my son. That I don't know. I'm not with all this, whatever's going on.
Politics or none of that?
None of that. I don't know nothing about that. I don't even know nothing about that. All I know is this is my son, and I love him, and I've been having him. Man, it's been my son, and this is incredible. And I don't know. That should have been gone a long time ago.
He has a concern about the fact that he was never, no one ever came and spoke to him.
Nobody ever. I never talked to, only way I found out, I see my son the night before he passed away. He was on the couch. I seen him, and he was like he was about to go to sleep. I seen him. I laughed at him. We tickled a little bit. He stayed with me all day, you know, because he stays with me anyway. That's my guy. And we laughed, and I said, I'm going to sleep. I went to sleep, and only way I found out was just two of his friends, just two friends that just happened to be up there, and they came and told me they weren't even from Seattle. Now, mind you, I haven't heard the police department. They never came. My son's address, his ID, him personally, you know, him as a person, he still had, somebody should have came, knocked on my door, and still to this day should have been like, come to talk to me and let me know about my son. To this day, I don't know nothing. I'm just still sitting here. I haven't heard nothing from nobody. Ain't nobody contacted me.
You haven't heard from the mayor? You haven't heard from the mayor? You haven't heard from the governor? You didn't hear from anybody?
I haven't heard from the mayor. I haven't heard from the police department. I just now recently, just because we went on TV, they reached out to me and let me know what they're doing now. But my son's been, you know, he's been deceased now for two weeks.
I got to pause this for a second.
I don't remember. I'm just,
this sucks so bad. The mayor should be fired. The police chief should be fired. I mean, it just absolutely, it's unbelievable. How can they not talk to this guy? And the only reason they're talking to him, it's been days. The only reason they're talking to him is because Hannity has him on his show. And they're worried, oh, they're going to get the bad image. Because you're damn right you're going to get the bad image. Who do you think you are? Last time I checked, and as it should be, the Constitution says, we the people. His dad is in charge. Horace Lorenzo Anderson's dad is the person who's in charge of government. Not these government stooges, these little dictators. How dare they do this?
So my days is like, every day is like, every day it's the same day. So it's like, I'm confused and I'm you know, but I understand that, you know, whatever's going on. But even at the time, even when my son passed away, when I went to the hospital, there was no detectives there. There was nobody there, no media there. There was nothing. He was nobody. He was just like, we was just there. And we just sat there and I said, man, why are we sitting here? There's nobody else here. It's like they didn't care. It didn't matter. I haven't heard from the mayor. I haven't heard from the police department. I haven't from no city and nobody. Nobody. Only thing I heard from is what you guys is hearing from me now. That's it.
You know, I saw this picture. Yeah. Then I looked for the video. This is a picture of you I'm holding up. It was in the Daily Wire. And what I see in this picture, if we can pan in close, if we can't, I understand. What I saw in this picture was a fellow father with a son around the same age as my son and about the same age as my daughter. And then I read the article and I read what you said. And you actually said, you're not sleeping. You could see my eyes have been crying. I'm trying not to cry on TV. And then you went on and you explained how you could not understand how they allowed this lawlessness to go on. Now you're taking it to an entirely new level. Nobody had the decency to call you. And I assume you heard the mayor out there calling this the summer of love and the media reporting it as a festive zone and one big block party.
Yeah, to this day, right now, they still haven't called me right now. I've been on TV. They still haven't called me. Nobody hasn't called me, and they're having reached out to be like, my condolence. Nothing. I don't understand. I never understood. You know, all I know is now they're acting now. This is today. This is 3 weeks later. If I would have never even came on TV, that would still be going on right now.
Let me just say, Hannity, I don't want to make this no kind of political statement or political
situation.
You can say anything you want, sir.
You can say anything you want on my show.
Yes.
You can criticize me. I don't care. I want this to stop.
I don't need to criticize you. You were very gracious. You was very gracious in offering your condolences if nobody else have.
Yes.
You offered yours, and that's not a political statement.
Yes.
You compared his situation to your own with your daughters, and that's big. That means something, and I appreciate you for that. But what I don't want to do is get into who's this and who's the fault and who that, because we don't really know. CHOP, I believe, should have been dismantled at least a week before.
Yes.
When the first violence happened, we should have looked at it a little differently. And that wasn't done, because I understand navigating in a time in our country that, from the George Floyd situation, people were a little bit hesitant on how to act and not to be the one to feel like they're trying to put down young people's voices. And so I understand that as well. I just want to let you know personally, beyond all the politics, that I appreciate how you reached out to Horace and you said how you understood his condition. I think that's real big of you, and I appreciate that too.
Yes.
You know,
I appreciate it too, because that's probably the only thing I've ever heard from anybody I haven't heard that from anybody else. You know,
that's heartbreaking.
We're on TV, and I've never been on TV, so I don't know how to be on TV. But my son was a child of special needs. He was born at 25 weeks, you know. So, you know, they compare him. They trying to want to put him this, do that. But, you know, he was a child. He had, developmental delays, you know what I'm saying? So he's easily to manipulate. You know, you can tell him something. Come on, he'll come on. You know, he's one of those type of child, you know. So
that are very influenced by others.
Yeah, easily influenced, you know what I'm saying? Easily. He was sitting on my couch. I went to bed. I seen my son. When I left that night, I'd seen him. I came home, and I seen him. I went to, man, I seen him, and I just said, I love you, man. I'm going to sleep. And, you know, that everything else is just seems like
a blur.
Yeah, I don't even, man, I'm numb. I'm still numb today. I got to bury my son tomorrow, you know, and it's just been a lot going on, and my whole thing and my whole life is, man, this is incredible. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I still to this day, it's been almost 2 weeks. I haven't heard from nobody. Has nobody called? They still ain't nobody called me or try to find me. And his ID is my ID, so his number is my number. So they can, it's easy to come for the, you know, detective, say, hey, excuse me, knock on my door, excuse me, let me tell you what happened about your son, I don't know nothing. I had to find my son. They wouldn't even let me see my son that night.
It begs the question, are they even investigating the murder of his son?
Me a whole week before I can see my son.
And then let me just say, Mr. Anderson, he's in trauma right now.
Mr. Anderson, you weren't allowed to see your son for a week? Please.
They wouldn't let me. I went to the hospital, and they said that we couldn't see him. They just said we couldn't see him. When I go there, I'm going there, I'm looking for a detective, somebody tell me something. But when I get there, there's nobody. I mean, the hospital is blank. It's silence. I'm going like, what's going on? So I go ask the lady, and she tells me, hold on. So I wait. I couldn't go in, so I'm waiting for a long time. And I finally, she tells me to come in, and then the doctor comes, tells me, only thing he tells me is my son's deceased. I'm like, well, can I see him? Is it my son? Because you got to realize, you know, at this time, I'm going like, is it really my son? You know, I want to know, is it my son? Mm-hmm. You know, because this could be somebody else's child, you know. But, you know, I'm in my head, I'm going like, yeah, it's mine because everybody's saying this. But in my heart, I'm going like, you know, I need to see him for, you know, I need to see him one time. So I can see him. I couldn't see him that day. That was Saturday. It took all the way till Thursday. I just seen him just last week. Just Thursday, and they had to, whatever they did to him and make him so they presentable, whatever it was. But I needed, you know, I got to finally see him, and then in my heart, I knew it was my son now. This is my son, because, you know, I wouldn't want nobody else's son. And, man, this is incredible. These kids and the kids that passed, whatever, what happened the other day, you know, all this on this child. Man, this is incredible. These are kids, man. I'm 50 years old. Man, these are kids, man. They should have been stopped this a long time ago. It's starting to get, excuse me, but it's getting to the point, you know, where, you know, it's getting.
Gotcha.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Mr. Anderson. I can only say this as a dad. You want to break Sean Hannity? I'm a pretty tough guy. That will break me. What you've
somebody
been through.
Somebody need to ask for this, and they need to come talk to me, and somebody need to come tell me something, because I still don't know nothing, and somebody need to come to my house and knock on my door and tell me something. That, you know, I don't know nothing. All I know is my son, he got killed up there, and he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son, you know? And I loved him. And that was my son.
Not your family. Don't worry about
everybody,
it.
Everybody, I can tell you, sir, and Andre, I didn't want to cut you off earlier, but, you know, on this show, we've done something. We have every weekend hundreds of kids shot, people shot in Chicago, killed every weekend. We get a death toll. Nobody knows their names. These are American kids, grandmothers, grandfathers, moms, and dads. We're the United States of America. We can fix this. We don't fix this. And you do it by right policing, training police, non-lethal weapons. You do it with a police presence, not demonizing. Everyone agreed what happened to George Floyd can't ever happen again. Nobody, it was not a political issue. Right. How do we function as a society if we don't protect our children?
And I feel for his family too. No disrespect.
Of course
but
you
when
do.
When it comes to my son, I feel like
it's personal.
Just like you saying that, somebody should help my son. He needed help. He needed paramedics. He needed the police to come in. Somebody was supposed to go in there and help my son. You know,
Can I play you something, sir?
Just anybody helping him. They should have came in here and helped my son. And even after that, still, I need to, man, let me know. I shouldn't know from some little kids. I should have somebody, adult, I'm 50 years old. Somebody should have knocked on my door and said, man, we need to sit down and talk to you and let you know what's going on. Because I still don't know what's going on. I'm hearing from YouTube and I don't know nothing. All I know is my son's dead, and I don't know nothing, and I'm still trying to figure out answers so I can sleep. I don't sleep, you know. My kids don't sleep. I can't even stay at home. My kids feel like they're unsafe at home now. So I've been buying motel rooms, and I don't have that type of money for this. I'm not, you know, I wasn't prepared for this. You know what I'm saying? So I just, you know, I'm blessed that my son, you know, my auntie, she blessed me, and his mom, we all came together and we got, you know, to bury him. But other than that, I don't have answers. You know what I'm saying? This is my son. Somebody need to come talk to me, man. They're not talking to me, man. And I understand that Black Lives Matter, but that's not what was going on here. You know, I didn't see that. That ain't what I see.
Life matter?
Yeah. He's somebody. Yeah, he's somebody, and I'm his dad, and I need answers, and I demand it. I refuse not to, man. I will not lay down. I'm hurt, but you know, I'm trying. I'm just trying. Whatever. I'm trying to pull myself together, and I apologize for crying. You know, because you know, I just You know, I don't know how to, you know, I'm trying to pull myself together. I'm not really, this TV is not my thing. But
sir, you have nothing to
apologize. Somebody need to come, somebody need to answer this. Somebody, tell me something.
Yes, sir. Andre.
You know.
Yes.
Mr. Taylor, you wanted to say?
No, I was asking, did you say something? You said you wanted to play something or something?
You know, well, first of all, I am... All of the violence in all of these cities. I've been scrolling names of the people don't hear of in Chicago. You know, 4,000 from 2009 to 2016. 4,000, almost 4,000 dead. Thousands and thousands more shot. They just like are statistics. I scroll the names sometimes, like I'm doing it right now. And then I watched this video, Mr. Anderson, of your the night that your son was shot. They didn't. I can't believe they didn't tell you. I can't believe nobody's called you. I'm stunned by that.
I can't watch it.
And you have a funeral tomorrow?
Yes.
For your son?
Yes.
I mean,
tomorrow,
if I could do anything for you and your family, I will do whatever you need. I will donate any amount of money you need. For all of this. This is just outrageous to me.
My thing is...
I will be gladly...
You know, I appreciate all donations, you know what I'm saying? But my thing, it isn't about the money.
You lost your son. No, I got
when I wake up in the morning, I look for my son in the morning. He's not there no more. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I go in there, I'm kissing a picture. You know, so he's not there. I understand. It ain't even about the money. It's just like... Man, something needs to happen. If it's changed then, well, let's change something then. Yes. Let's figure out the change then.
Yes.
Let me play the tape.
Let's wait till tomorrow or the next day.
Yes.
This is...
Well, we're going to have to leave it here because we're running out of time. Yeah. If this doesn't get you... Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr., the father of 19-year-old black man who was shot and killed last month inside Seattle's Capitol Hill organized protest, or CHOP, publicly pleaded for answers on Hannity last night, saying police and Seattle mayor, this is a name that will live in infamy, Jenny Durkin, have failed to reach out to him since his son's death. And, man, you want answers? You know what? He's going to start getting them from citizen journalists, Sean Hannity, and people like you that listen to this radio show. We have to stick together. It's pretty obvious that there's a systemic hatred in this country. And it's beyond racism that is systemic. And Black Lives Matters, and those associated with Black Lives Matters and Antifa, are you hearing me, Nancy Pelosi? You're the perpetrators. You are the perpetrators of this. Your names are going to go down in infamy. Absolutely. Like Adolf Hitler's name is down in infamy. Like Pol Pot's name is down in history. Mao Zedong is down in history. Your names are going to go down in history. No question about it. Adam Schiff. Dianne Feinstein. Jerry Brown. Gavin Newsom. You're going to be infamous. And you will be historical figures. And good luck on how... history treats you. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.